Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in another week on the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, we do this each weekday. 11 a.m. is the live show. Most days, our program re-airs in the 3 o'clock hour. And, of course, multiple ways to listen locally, 1450 a.m., 96.1 FM on the Big X Sports Radio. We also are streaming online. A lot of people I know listening from out of the area at BigXSportsRadio.com. Or you can find us on TuneIn as well. An easy way to keep up with IU athletics and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective each day here on the Hoosier Report. We also are podcasting. SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts will remind you how to catch up with us on a podcast later in the program. But for now, glad to have you with us. Coming out of a interesting weekend, high school football wrapped up on Friday night. IU took a bad loss, I'll call it, on Saturday. Iowa probably better than what we gave them credit for, although I expected a really tight game. I expected if Indiana won for the game to be very close. Obviously, that ended up not being the case. In fact, IU was very much outplayed by Iowa in the homecoming game in Bloomington. 42-16, the final score. You never at any point, at least I didn't at any point, felt like Indiana had a legitimate chance in this game. Iowa got off to a great start and took control of the game from there. Their quarterback, a lot of big position players, I thought did a great job for them. And again, part of it, heading into that game, I probably did not give Iowa as much credit as I should have. They're a good football team and will go on to have, I'm sure, a great strong finish to the regular season. But a disappointing loss nonetheless, because you come out of the Ohio State game on the road and are able to build some momentum. That's kind of the standard that you talk about when you play Ohio State and maybe in some regards Penn State, which is who Indiana has the next week. It is at home, but those kind of games, if you don't think you can win, and it's tough for Indiana, and it's tough for a lot of Big Ten conference teams to win against those two teams in the conference specifically, you've got to go in with the fact that let's have some momentum. Even if it's a loss, let's do things right. Let's play some good football. Let's be within reason in the final score and build momentum to the next game. And Indiana did that against Ohio State in a big way, I felt like, and in many ways turned a corner, not just against the lower, the mid-level Big Ten competition, but against the very best the Big Ten has to offer this year and basically each and every year. And if they could have come home to play Iowa, play them close, get the win, even if they didn't get the win, just a close game, keep the buzz about IU football going and play Penn State at home. Pate Ramsey could continue doing what he's done for most of the season. I thought it would be a lot of fun. I'm not so sure about the quarterback situation. I'm not so sure about this team, to be quite honest with you right now. We'll talk a lot more about IU football and obviously the loss a little bit later in the program today. But let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's presented by Honey Baked Ham. Segment one, always our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll talk IU football in our headlines today. We'll talk a recruiting update that was a little unexpected on Friday night from Trace Jackson Davis. We'll have that for you and a couple other notes as well from high school football on Friday night. A couple other high school teams, Providence boys soccer, Floyd Central boys tennis, having some really good outings and advancing far into their respective state tournaments. So we'll give them a shout out in our headlines coming up here today as well. Segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will join me. We're so fortunate to have Zach on Mondays. He is the beat writer for the Hoosiers for the Indianapolis Star. He is on top of IU football and, of course, basketball too. But we'll start our segment later in the show with Zach and really dig into IU's loss. We'll talk about the quarterback situation or the quarterback spot. Is Peyton Ramsey still the man for the job? We'll talk about the Iowa game. We'll look ahead to the Penn State game. And is this team, Zach, I will ask him, still a bowl team? I don't think there's reason to think that Indiana at this point can't get to the six wins that are basically the minimum you need to get into a bowl. But taking that step to a seventh or maybe even an eighth win had they defeated Iowa over the weekend, I think that may be a little bit out of the reach. But we'll talk with Zach about that and a lot more. We'll also catch some IU basketball with him. And then later in the program, Chad Gilbert, the Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board member. He joins me each Monday. Chad and I have a lot of fun talking some local stuff. We always find a way to talk some basketball. We obviously also will talk about high school football from Friday night. Week 9 is in the books. I think of those 9 weeks, we had 7 weeks with bad and or questionable weather this past Friday night with the cold moving into the area. That's expected. That's kind of part of the football season. In a way, you kind of look forward to that. But the rain mixed with the cold Friday, I know for a lot of people, was not fun. So we'll talk high school football. We'll get you ready for the sectional. I'm really excited about Friday night. I think we've got some good games this week to pay attention to. And I think really as the weeks go on in some of these, especially the 5A and 2A sectional, I really like some of the potential matchups. So we'll hit that and more when Chad is with us later today in the show. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Obviously, I kind of gave you my thoughts on IU football in the top of the show. We're going to talk more about that with Zach coming up in the next segment. But is Peyton Ramsey, his numbers weren't terrible, his performance wasn't ungodly, but is he the man to take Indiana football to Penn State, or I should say against Penn State coming up? Is he the man to take IU football the rest of the way as the starting quarterback and as the quarterback who's getting basically every snap of the season within reason? We'll talk about that coming up, but I think it's a legitimate question to ask at this point. Michael Penix is the backup. Some interesting things about Penix and his skills. He's only had limited time. I think he's played in 2 games so far. The new redshirt rule in college football allows a player to actually participate in up to 4 games. If they participate in no more than 4 games, you can file for a redshirt. They can preserve that season of eligibility. So will he be used 2 more times? I would think that's likely, right, to get the experience so he can come in next year and have the opportunity to compete from the get-go for that job. Or will they take him beyond the 2 games, especially if it looks like Indiana has the chance to play in a bowl game, which I would think is still likely. So we'll talk about that some with Zach, but I obviously think that's a headline to pay attention to with this program moving forward. And, of course, Penn State coming to town a Saturday, a primetime game at 3:30. It's going to be on ABC, so a nationally televised game. If Indiana can do what they did against Penn State and play 2 quarters, 3 quarters or so of really good football, Penn State's not as good as Ohio State. They're good. They're not too far off from them. But, you know, Indiana, it's at home. There's reason to think that Indiana, even coming off the Iowa game, can make it somewhat interesting. So going to be interesting to see what happens, because Iowa, obviously not as good as Penn State, obviously not as good as Ohio State. Indiana struggled with them really from the get-go. But just the week before, we know what Indiana did on the road at Ohio State. Can they put one of those type performances together and still a win? And it would be a signature win for Tom Allen. It would be a signature win for this program to defeat a Penn State at home. But that obviously will be something to pay attention to this week. Trace Jackson Davis of Senator Grove, as we were on the air with our high school football coverage Friday night, he put out a big social media tweet that he is eliminating his list to just 3 schools. Not a big change. He was only really considering 4. His last update was 5, but then he announced after the list came out in an interview that he wasn't going to consider Purdue. So that really essentially took it down to four. So you could say he eliminated one, he eliminated two officially with Purdue, but he's down to three. We know that Indiana, Michigan State, UCLA, his finalists. Two schools in the Midwest, two schools in the Big Ten Conference. UCLA, the only outlier there, obviously, on the complete opposite coast. Quite an airplane ride away for him and his family. Of course, Indiana just down the road, Michigan State. Not a terrible drive from the Indianapolis area that he and his family live. But getting closer now that his official visits are done, it will be interesting to see how long Trace Jackson Davis will extend his recruiting. There's some thought that he might extend it into the college season some, so he, as he said, can watch the coaches and how they develop and work with their current rosters, guys that he might be playing with next year. Obviously, I'm sure he would look at how Romeo Langford is being coached and the positions that he's being put in as someone that he, I would think safe to say, looks up to and has enjoyed being around during IU's recruitment of him when he's been on campus. So I wouldn't, and there were some that thought he might make a decision this month, and obviously I have no insight. That's very possible as well, but it would not surprise me if Trace and his family take this maybe into the Big Ten season a little bit to watch the coaches and how they coach their teams and how they specifically put newcomers and other players in certain roles, and so he can get a real grasp on how he could fit in possibly as a freshman and then make a decision after that point. So I don't expect, and I think Trace has said this, that I don't expect him to take it out to the end of the season, to the end of the high school season. I think that it's likely he'll do something in the middle of the season, if not before. So we're getting closer, down to his final three. Doesn't sound like he's going to trim it down any further. Looks like the three will stand as far as the schools he will choose from when he makes his decision. A couple high school notes is headline number three today. We've had some teams that are doing really good in their respective sports. Providence Boys Soccer, they won their third regional championship in a row with a 1-0 victory over Vincennes Reveille and a 7-0 win over Rising Sun in the championship game on Saturday. That means Providence, 12-6, will take on Covenant Christian, who's 12-8 in the semi-state. It's a one-game semi-state coming up. I believe it's played at Seymour this weekend. The winner of that game moves on to the state championship in that respective class. So Providence Boys Soccer is really in the final four and one game away from a state championship appearance. Also, a big hats off to Floyd Central Boys Tennis. They made a run in the boys tennis team tournament to the semifinals, where they were defeated on Saturday morning by perennial power Carmel. But really good performance as they get all the way to the final four as far as the boys' tennis side, the team side of things go in tennis. So a couple local teams really doing some good stuff in high school sports over the weekend outside of the mainstream, the football obviously going on Friday night. I wanted to take just a moment to recognize those teams. Also, girls basketball practices officially begin today. I can't wait to check in here later this week with a couple of my girls basketball coaching friends and see how practices are going, because I'll look forward to doing the same thing when the boys season begins in November, because it's different this year. These teams, as we've mentioned with Chad Gilbert and as we've discussed some on the program, they've had the opportunity this year to have practices starting as early as the last week of August. They're not full-fledged 4-day, 5-day, 6-day-a-week practices, but you can go a maximum of 4 hours a week, and it has to be split into only 2 days. So most people are going Monday, Wednesday for 2 hours each, Tuesday, Thursday for 2 hours each, some combination, something like that. Today, for girls basketball, starts the official beginning of the season, which means they can do what they want as far as the hours within reason and the number of days that they practice. That means girls' scrimmages will be coming up soon. That also means that coming up soon will be the start of the girls' basketball season. And I tell you what, I really like the start of the girls' season, because that is their chance to kind of showcase things. Not that we don't pay attention once the boys' season begins, but that's kind of their opportunity to really showcase things before the boys' games get underway the week heading up to Thanksgiving, the weekend after Thanksgiving is the opening night for most boys' teams. But in the start of the season, there are some really good games. Providence and New Albany in girls basketball always play early on. That's been a good series and a good rivalry. Providence has had some terrific teams here lately that have made runs in the state tournament. Also, early in the season, Jeffersonville and North Harrison play each other early on. Jeff is expected again this year to have a lot of talent, to have an opportunity to compete with Bedford for a sectional championship. I think whoever comes out of that sectional could make a nice run. And North Harrison, you know, that, with that game, playing each other against the Lady Devils, North Harrison has been tremendous, going to the state finals a couple times. I think Jeff and Bedford also play a regular season game fairly early in the season. So some real opportunities when you're wanting basketball on the boys' side to start to get out and see some good girls' games. We will have a girls' basketball tip-off show. We look forward to talking with all the coaches and some of the players that will be big newsmakers for this 2018-19 season. That show will be coming up sometime in early November. Also, with me mentioning Providence boys soccer and Floyd Central boys tennis, if you like hearing about some of the high school stuff outside of basketball and football, which we do manage to work in quite a bit on the Hoosier Report, we've got a new show starting this week, the High School Sports Report with Matt Dennison. We're going to be talking to some of the big headliners, kids that make commitments, kids that make big performances, teams that make big runs into the tournament, some of the coaches as well. Kind of a way for us that here at the Big X, the traditional leader in high school sports for years and years and years, to bring on and welcome and congratulate some of the other sports and athletes that maybe don't always get some of the credit and highlight that they deserve. So that's all coming up later this week as well. We'll have more information about the debut program of a new show, a weekly show, the High School Sports Report here on the Big X. That's the Hoosier Headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll break down IU Iowa. We'll talk some IU basketball, a little bit of the Trace Jackson Davis recruitment update with Zach as well. A lot of stuff coming your way from an IU perspective next with Zach Osterman right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is our guest. We're going to talk through this really disappointing performance for IU football over the weekend. I tell you, Zach, hard to figure out this IU football team. They go on the road the previous Saturday, and they don't win, but they play really good football for more than a half against a really, really good football team, one of the best in the country each and every year. I felt like they picked up a lot of momentum. I know there was a lot of excitement throughout the week building up to the homecoming game, as you can expect each and every year in Bloomington, and that this IU football team, maybe if they didn't win Saturday at home, would again play very competitive and very close. And really, that wasn't the case. And just when you think you've got this team figured out, and just when you think the quarterback situation is in the bag for the season, and just when you think this team is going to be bowl eligible and maybe even take a step beyond that, Saturday happened against Iowa, and it wasn't really good.
Yeah, you know, and the caveat to this is maybe Iowa's a lot better than I thought. I mean, there's always that one Kirk Ferentz season every five where he trips up and finds exactly the right combination of offense and defense and goes through the Rose Bowl. It's like Kirk Ferentz and Gus Malzahn. They have, you know, 3-4 years of progressively disappointing football, and then all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere, you know, they win 10 or 11 games. I think the issue for Indiana, there's a few things. Number one, it was the first time in a long time I could really remember Indiana looking like the old Indiana, the Indiana that was just kind of a walkover opponent for most of the rest of the Big Ten, certainly any serious team in the Big Ten. They made a ton of mistakes, 10 penalties, an alarming number of missed tackles, some really bad coverage breakdowns, got beat one-on-one a lot, got beat in, frankly, a lot of the ways that they said Iowa would beat them, particularly the way Iowa used its two really good tight ends, Noah Fant and T.J. Hockenson. Offensively, mistakes, again, penalties again, a couple of turnovers, two interceptions in, thrown in the end zone, and obviously, listen, they lost by 26 points, so let's not clean this up. Let's not try to dress this up into something that it's not. But you finish those two drives, and at very least, you know, you're talking about losing 42-30 instead of 42-16, and that maybe gives you a little bit more of that appearance of being competitive. It was the first time, frankly, since maybe somewhere midway through Kevin Wilson's tenure, I felt like I was looking at the Indiana that just had the capacity to be so hapless against a good Big Ten opponent. And again, some of that might be Iowa. Some of that might be an undervaluing of Iowa. I thought Nate Stanley, Iowa's quarterback, was fantastic. He just looked so poised and under control. And obviously, when you throw six touchdown passes, that's easy to say. But if you just watched his performance, frankly, he looked like an NFL quarterback to me. But from Indiana's perspective, you know, it's concerning because, number one, that's not the kind of performance you want to turn in a game like that. Number two, it's certainly not the way you want to start the second half of your season, when I think you could argue the last couple of years in particular, Indiana's probably actually gotten better as seasons wore on. And number three, it is, and I don't think this is something Indiana's thinking about maybe in the moment, but it is kind of the sign of average football teams that they can't sustain good efforts from one week to the next, that you can get an Ohio State and, you know, there's so much promise and there's so much good and there's so much about it that looks really kind of potentially exciting for the rest of the season. And then you just kind of come out and fall completely flat the next week, and maybe you expended a little bit too much emotional capital the week before. So there's a lot of concerns for Indiana, and I'm not trying to sort of be doom and gloom guy. I don't think that the season is a bust by any means. I don't think that one game is this crazy pivot point in Tom Allen's tenure or anything like that. But then you look at the schedule, and all of a sudden there is very little room for error because you've got Penn State this week, then you go to Minnesota, then you get Maryland at home. You know, you maybe got to find a way to win at least one of these next three, if not two, to ensure yourself postseason eligibility with the way Purdue's playing.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He's the IU insider for the Star, and he joins us Mondays here on the show. Quarterback situation. I think we kind of bragged, maybe you and I, last week on IU's quarterback that Peyton Ramsey had done the job the right way and was everyone seemed really comfortable with him. Not that that's completely changed after just one game and us singing his praises a week ago, but do you begin to maybe wonder if there shouldn't be some other looks at the QB slot, and would that maybe, if that does happen, maybe in the next game against Penn State or moving forward, you still think there's a possibility of a red shirt for backup quarterback Michael Penix?
I think that's a question that's probably fair to ask Tom Allen at this point. I mean, you know, and it's something I'm planning on asking this afternoon when he speaks to the media during his weekly press conference. He talks every Monday. You know, he kind of said that they were still evaluating all of it, and that there are still discussions kind of ongoing, because he was asked on Saturday, and he said there's still discussions ongoing about whether or not Penix should play this year. You know, I guess the question I would have is not just do you think he can still play, it's where do you want to target him? You know, if you feel, because at this point, Michael Penix has played in two games, so he's got two more with five left, obviously potentially a sixth if Indiana does go to a bowl game, to that he can play without burning his red shirt for next year. And the question that I have is basically, where and why would you want Michael Penix? And I'm not saying that they shouldn't. I'm not saying they shouldn't. Because I think Peyton Ramsey's performance on Saturday, I don't think it was a disaster, but I think that I mean, look, he did throw two picks in the end zone. You even have to look at him and say, this was not your best day. do you prepare Penix to play a team like Penn State, knowing that you're going to be a heavy underdog, that even a great performance could still mean a loss? Or do you say, well, maybe we're going to target Michael Penix for some of our more winnable games? Well, but what, number one, I guess I would worry a little bit about what message that would send. And again, I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth. This is just me theorizing. But I would worry a little bit about what message that would send to say, well, do you think that our season is kind of so on the edge, on the brink here now that we only can realistically hope to win these games? And then I think you also maybe get yourself into kind of an all or nothing position where you say, well, we're gonna go for it, and we're really gonna push to win these games, and we're gonna make Michael Penix a part of the game plan for these games. Well, what if that doesn't work? And I'm not saying that Indiana has boxed itself in any way. And look, at the end of the day, if Penix doesn't keep his red shirt, if he plays five or six games this year, or if he just plays from here on out, if he backs up Ramsey but rotates in a few series every single game the rest of the way, then it's not the greatest tragedy that has ever befallen IU football. But I do think that at this point, again, as you're maybe looking for ways to try and what's the best way to put this? If you're looking for ways to try and kind of widen that margin for error as the schedule shrinks it, I do think it's fair to maybe wonder if more snaps for Michael Penix might not be a bad idea. But then you also ask, well, he hasn't played since week three. Is he rusty? How long is it going to take him to get ready? He hasn't seen a Big Ten defense. It's a complicated question.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. I guess we're starting the segment with IU football. We'll get to a little IU basketball here in just a bit. You mentioned the Penn State game in your answer about the quarterback situation. I tell you, I was curious to see last Monday, coming out of the Ohio State loss with some momentum, depending on how things went this Saturday, the game at home the following week against Penn State, maybe if Indiana could continue that momentum into that contest. And again, a win at home over Penn State would be absolutely huge. Might even be a defining win for Tom Allen and the football program in a number of years. I don't have the confidence that the momentum track is heading in the right direction right now following the Iowa game to see something like that through. But coming off a bad loss to Iowa, and again, you're right, Iowa probably better than what we gave them credit for. That's a big part in this. But coming off a loss with that momentum, there seemed to be a little uptick in the fan interest. You know, basketball season is, I guess, underway with Hoosier hysteria and practices. We're talking about that every day. IU football needs that push, that momentum to stay in the limelight in a way, even with its own fans. What are your thoughts on this Penn State game now with what you saw Saturday against Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly can't call it a must win because, number one, it's not. If you look at the sheer numbers of games that Indiana still has, a fair competitive shot at, your Maryland's and your Minnesota's and even Purdue. Purdue's playing much better football than they were the early part of the season. But I think Indiana could still, at home in a rivalry setting, have a good chance at winning that game. You also can't look at it and say, well, Indiana has to – it's a failure if Indiana doesn't beat Penn State. They've beaten Penn State once ever, and that's in the entire history of Penn State being in the Big Ten. Indiana has one win against Penn State all time. It is one, and I don't think that Tom Allen really ever sort of lusted for moral victories. I've never gotten the sense that his players saw anything as a moral victory, if that makes any sense. I just don't think that's the way that this team thinks. I certainly don't think that's the way that the staff thinks. But I do think after a performance like Iowa, it is fair to kind of look at one another and say, listen, there's no such thing as a good performance and defeat for us right now. We did exactly what we needed to do in the non-conference. Okay, the Rutgers game was a little bit uninspiring, but guess what? We still won. And then the next week, we seem to really kind of build some positive momentum, some positive energy in the loss at Ohio State. You come out and play the way you did against Iowa in all facets of the ball, but certainly defensively, where this team's, you know, sort of identity has been the last 2 or 3 years. You look at it and say, there's no such thing as just a good day for us, a day with building blocks. We're obviously, win or lose, going to try and take positives out of Penn State that we can build on for the rest of the season and use it to progress forward. But we can't be looking at this game and just thinking, well, you know, if we're right there, then that's good, because we were right there against Ohio State, and what did that do? What door did that open? And I'm not – listen, again, I want to be really clear. It's not doom and gloom for Indiana. I think there's still, if I'm not mistaken, like according to the S&P Plus numbers, they're still, their most likely final record is still 6-6. But if you're Indiana, a performance like last weekend's has maybe, to your point, certainly kind of reeled back in some fan enthusiasm, has probably stopped what forward momentum this season had. I wouldn't necessarily say the program, but what this season had, and has really put you in a position where you've got to look at it and say, we cannot be in the business of anything other than absolutely, you know, absolutely pulling out whatever stops we have to try and win the rest of our games. Because if we start picking around the edges, if we start thinking, well, you know, like a pitcher trying to pitch too perfectly, and he starts walking people, if Indiana starts trying to pick around the edges of its schedule and say, well, you know, let's give our best effort here, but let's focus the most on this game here and all that, I've seen that before, and Indiana seasons can go rapidly off the rails when that happens. I haven't really seen it from Tom Allen, and so I think this is maybe instructive to how he can handle or how he'll try to handle this sort of, not just game or performance, but this sort of dynamic within a season to say, well, what do we do when X happens? Or what do we do when we struggle with this? I think that's going to be really instructive. And he's got his work cut out for him, because Saturday was a tough one.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Zach is always with us on Mondays. You can read his work at indystar.com/sports, complete coverage of IU from all angles. I want to get a couple basketball things in with you today, Zach. Over the weekend, Trace Jackson Davis, actually Friday night, he narrowed his list down to just three schools that he will choose from at some point. Still no decision date or really even idea of a time before the high school season, during the high school season. Could he wait like Romeo Langford did to make his decision at the conclusion of his senior year at Center Grove? We don't know that. We do know that he'll choose from Indiana, Michigan State, and UCLA. So two Big Ten teams, two Midwestern teams, one obviously distance there between Center Grove, or between his hometown and between UCLA. Thoughts on Trace and his decision to pare things down a bit more before he makes the final decision?
Yeah, I enjoyed going from 4 to 3.
That's right. It wasn't
just
more than
kind
that.
Of like an just sort of put the finer points on it. I mean, he said he doesn't necessarily think. I think he said a couple months ago he doesn't really think he could extend it as far out into the season as Romeo Langford did. You know, he didn't put like a firm timetable on it, but I think he said the latest he would do it was something like January. He didn't think he'd ever want it to go all the way into the spring. You and I have talked about Trace Jackson Davis a lot, and I think it's fair to say that the perception for a long time has been that Indiana and Michigan State are probably his two, you know, sort of most well-regarded suitors. It was interesting to see the other Big Ten team, Iowa, sort of lopped off the edge, and maybe that wasn't surprising given the profile of the three schools that made it through compared to Iowa. But it was interesting still, you know, to your point, to see him keep one West Coast school in the mix. It still does feel to me, based on everything that's kind of been out and around for a while, that Indiana and Michigan State seem to be in really good positions here. I'm not going to count out UCLA. I'm mostly curious, you know, is there a desire to get this done before the start of his senior season? If there is, then obviously he's got to make some decisions soon. If I'm not mistaken, he's taken all of his official visits at this point, so it's just basically a matter of sifting through all of the information available to him, thinking about all of his experiences at the different campuses and the different programs and his relationship with the coaches. And I'm not going to sit here and predict when he's going to commit, but you would imagine if he's so far advanced that he's done all his officials and he's down to his final three, then he's at very least got to be viewing his recruitment through the lens of, you know, we're near the end now. And it's just a matter of waiting for that decision.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us Mondays. Again, always a great way to start the week. We recap IU football, got a little IU basketball in as well. Zach, thank you very much. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and IHSAA executive board member. He will join me. We'll talk high school football. We'll talk about the upcoming football championships, I should say sectionals, that begin coming up here later this week on Friday, and much more. Local headlines with Chad Gilbert every Monday on the program. After this, on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we finish up the show each Monday with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director, IHSAA executive board member as well. And we get into a lot of Southern Indiana basketball, sports, and more. Chad, the start of girls basketball officially today. The teams can practice. You've got some experience on the girls' side of things as well as the former coach at Jeffersonville, went all the way and won a 4A state championship. Also, football playoffs get underway this Friday. We're coming out of week 9 this past Friday, which means the regular season is now in the books. We've got some teams in our area that very much have opportunities to compete and perhaps win their sectional championships, which would be great for the sport of football in the area. And then volleyball and boys soccer and boys tennis and other sports, we've got local representatives doing very well as those state tournaments unwind as well. Busy time, weather beginning to change, college football rolling, college basketball around the corner, high school boys basketball around the corner. Chad, I'm just excited to have you with me today, man.
Matt, you sound like me. We're going to be all over the board today. This is one of those things you're going to have to keep me in check because it's a great time of the year. This weather, though, my gosh, it's awful. We got evacuated from Destin last week. The red tide, oh, my gosh. Anybody that ever experiences red tide is terrible. Cut it short, but we got to spend some time on Alabama's campus. A beautiful campus, Matt Dennison. If you ever have a chance to go down there, you should check it out. A friend of mine, Nick Durant, went down for the football game, homecoming, all the festivities. Got to see a game, got to see everything involved in it, Saban close face-to-face. So a great time to be part of that one. But fall break, you know, just to backtrack a little bit. As a coach, that's an opportunity for you to really get some stuff done. I'm going to use a guy who I really, really respect. I think he really, really works hard, is B.J. McAllister over at New Albany. That guy is a go-getter. He spent his fall break. One, he went to San Diego, and this guy, he knows how to eat, so he's going to the finest restaurants. But he went to San Diego, and he's watching San Diego's practice on his vacation getting better. He spent 3 days at University of Louisville practice watching Chris Mack getting better. So something like that. This is a time for high school programs to really work hard, to really set in plan what they're trying to do. And like we said, the underlying theme is really get better. You talked about girls basketball getting underway. Girls basketball starts 3 weeks earlier than the boys season. And what happens on that, Matt, they give it an opportunity for a volleyball sectional to end on Friday and pick up practice the next day. So there's a little bit of overlap on there. What is good about that is a lot of times to start the season off, the girls have the prime time dates right away. They can play those Friday and Saturday nights, which, one, it's good for your crowd, and two, it's good for your kids to get that exposure. You know what? We have our schedule balanced on Friday and Saturdays for boys and girls to play the same amount of Fridays and Saturdays, so that's good for them to get out off the snide on that one. But the down other side on girls basketball is the sectional starts that last week in January, you know, first week in February. So it's a quick season, and just like any other sport, the longest part is leading up to your season. Once that season gets going, it's gone.
Chad Gilbert with me. Chad, you just covered a whole bunch of topics right there. Let me back up now for just a second. Fall break, an opportunity for high school coaches. You mentioned Coach McAllister at New Albany. But I talked to a lot of coaches that do take advantage, and I know it's something you used to do and try to still do when you can, but to take fall break to see some of the college practices with the way the schedules are structured, colleges get started a little earlier than the high school girls or the high school boys in the state of Indiana. So it's kind of the last opportunity maybe to make some practices and some workouts and get some ideas on new drills and new ideas for offenses and ways to structure defenses for the upcoming season. Fun to get in those practices if you can and learn a little bit more, especially in the area right now. We have new coaches like Archie Miller, and I mentioned last week their practices were closed for the start of the season, and I think we'll open up here in the next week or two for coaches to come back and get a glance. But Chris Mack at Louisville, some interesting new faces in the area, some young guys too to learn from, which is kind of exciting if you're a coach in this area.
It is a great opportunity to learn from some of the young guys and see how they do things. You know, because basketball is like anything else, Matt. You've got to constantly change to keep up with the times. And you see more people out there doing it a different way because everybody's trying to get from point A to point B. There's just a whole lot of different ways to get there. You've got to do, as a coach, what's best for your team to get there. So you got to figure out what makes your players tick. What's the best way that they understand a certain way? Because everybody's trying to get, like I said, from point A to point B. You got to figure out how to get there. But a lot of young coaches, my buddy Neil Coyle at Bloomington South, he's been up, watched Archie several times. He said, hey, really get after it hard up there. They go to work, so it'll be a good time to get up there. Of course, you know, Matt Painter at Purdue, always wanting to have coaches in. But the sleeper on this one, throughout the state, if you have an opportunity to watch these guys practice, you will get more out of it. If you got an opportunity to take your team to watch these guys practice, is go watch the Bellarmine Knights and Coach Scotty Davenport.
I was hoping that's where
they
were going.
They play the right way. Yeah. They play the right way, Matt. They practice at 5 in the morning. They practice in the afternoon. So there's an opportunity to go over there. But what that does is that shows your best player on your team, you know, who has that dream. And there's nothing wrong with dreams that they're going to play at Kentucky. They're going to play at Indiana. They're going to play at Louisville. They're going to play at Purdue. They have that dream that they're going to do that one. If you take those kids over to Bellarmine, it shows you how good you have to be. It shows you how good you have to be to play at Bellarmine. It shows you how good you have to be to be able to succeed at that next level. That college next level is just a grind in itself. But going over there and seeing how Coach Davenport does it the right way, they make the extra pass, they're fundamentally rebound, a great defensive program, and ranked number one in the nation starting out preseason. So a lot of fun over there watching those guys go at it.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director, IHSA executive board member with us, and we have so much fun talking Southern Indiana sports to get the week going every Monday on the show. Chad, the girls' season starts today. You mentioned that high school sports-wise as far as basketball goes, but you know we can't slight volleyball. We've got multiple sectional winners from our area that will go on, and some of them it looks like have really good opportunities to advance even beyond the regional weekend coming up, and who knows how far in the volleyball tournament. We had Providence boys soccer do very well. They're headed to a semi-state. Floyd Central boys tennis made it to the semifinals of the boys tennis team tournament. And I know I'm leaving some things out, but my point is it's once again a very successful fall and a very exciting time overall for high school sports in the area. That said, I'm excited to look ahead a couple more weeks. You mentioned it's 3 weeks to the day that boys basketball practices can officially begin. Shortly after that, you'll have some scrimmages. Following that, the week of Thanksgiving, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, leading up to Thanksgiving, there are a handful of games. Friday and Saturday, obviously, after Thanksgiving, most everyone else plays as well. Your early thoughts and maybe some comments on the boys' season here in Southern Indiana. We're going to be without Romeo. Jeffersonville had some big graduations. Floyd Central had some big graduations as well. Other programs still trying to find out, I know, what their rosters and leadership will look like for the upcoming season. But maybe an early Chad Gilbert gauge on high school basketball in Clark and Floyd counties for the 18-19 season?
Well, looking at the season ahead, in Clark County, Floyd County, Harrison County out there, you would think Silver Creek is going to be probably the best team out there. Silver Creek has a lot of talent, returning. They've got a nice blend where they have some youth, and I think they have six seniors on the program. You know, got to spend some time with Brandon over fall break, and he's looking forward to the year. But I think that they have a chance to make a deep, deep run. However, the sectional has North Harrison in it, who has tons of size, tons of experience, who may be able to give push Silver Creek a little bit to the brink. And you know, anytime you've got a David Benner coach team, they're going to be upsetting someone in that sectional. But for Brandon to get out, Silver Creek to get out with what they have, and they have some talent. Man, I watched them in the tennis sectional. They got 6'6 guys out there playing tennis. They're all on the basketball team. So, it's, you know, what they've got over there, this is a once-in-a-lifetime deal for those guys the next couple of years. But that regional, you know, the South Ridge regional could be Bossy or Memorial. You may look at a Silver Creek, a Greensburg, possibly a Heritage Hills type deal with lots and lots of talent. They're going to be extremely loaded. You know, that'll be an outstanding regional. You look at the 4A level, and locally, you know, Jeff, New Albany, Floyd Central, those guys are always going to be in the mix. You know, when you think about their players, you think about their coaches, you think about their tradition. But this year, you know, one team that may slide in there in that sectional is Bedford. I think Bedford is seasoned. They've got a lot of kids back. I'll be anxious to see how those guys come in. But when you look at their regional, the winner of that is going to come out there with Center Grove, and we all know what Center Grove's got. You come through there, and you've got the sleeper coming out of that one is going to be Evansville Wrights. Evansville Wrights is loaded with young talent. They've got a kid, Christian Lander, who's a sophomore, who's got big-time offers. I think IU's offered him, Ohio State, Purdue. Man, I think that list goes on and on. You can help me from there. But that's a big-time kid in there as just a sophomore. So there's going to be a lot of talent as the season goes on. And it's interesting to see how it shakes down. But it all culminates to the end of the season. That's what makes the volleyball and soccer this time of year so fun, is because everybody's fighting for their life. You know, one thing you might watch, Silver Creek could make a deep run. The thing I'm looking forward to seeing that's going to be an outstanding matchup this weekend, and everybody, you know, check this one out. Providence volleyball versus Castle volleyball. I think Castle's won the sectional 25 times in a row. And one thing to tie in with the basketball, the volleyball player on Castle, their best player is Jack Nungi's sister. And for her, you know, she's a big-time recruit. I think she's going to Florida State. You may correct me on that one. But that will be a test. Castle and Castle and Providence tangled in the Brebeuf tournament a few weeks ago, and I think Castle gave them all they want. So that'll be an exciting time. But, you know, to shift back to the basketball, that's when the teams really come to gel, is toward the end of the year, to that sectional regional time. And it'll be interesting who makes it without being banged up, who has good team chemistry, and who's playing their best basketball at the right time. So Southern Indiana is going to be great for basketball, Matt. I don't think you can find a bad game to watch this year because there's so much young talent in the area.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSA board member with us. I look forward to talking more about the upcoming high school season. You know, we always give plenty of love to high school basketball, especially on this program. And I know a lot of people are kind of like, you know, Romeo's gone. He brought so much excitement to the area. And it just so happened that at a time when Floyd Central was legit, I mean, that was a really good Floyd Central team last year. I mean, I'm talking state caliber team. Jeffersonville had made some major improvements under Coach Luce and was very competitive as well. They gave Floyd Central all they wanted in that sectional semifinal before they were eliminated. And I'm just talking about 4A right now. If you look through a lot of the local schools last year, they all had a great player that led the way. They all had something special happen for them that makes you wonder how will it look this year for their team. So with that said, I've had a lot of people, you know, say, man, I wonder if we're in for a little bit of a down year. We don't have Romeo and, you know, Floyd Central and Jeff, maybe they've lost a couple people and so-and-so graduated from this school or that school. I tell people, don't forget the experiences you had with high school sports, high school basketball last year. how fun it was at the big rival games, how much how cheap it was as well. A good entertainment option on Friday nights. I think that, and I hope I'm not misspoken here, but I think that we will feel a positive effect from Romeo as he does his thing at Indiana and hopefully moves on from there in the near future. I hope that people remember that paid $5 to come see him play as many times as they could, whether they were from New Albany or not, or from the opposing school New Albany was playing or not, that we've got some really good things to follow the next couple of years. And if nothing else, rivalry games between New Albany and Jeff and New Albany and Floyd Central and Providence and some of those same schools and others. Every school has its rivalries, are special environments to be part of.
Oh, no question about it, Matt. Well, anytime you're in high school basketball, one thing that you can really get behind is your alma mater or the community you live in. If you look at a Bar Reeve or someplace like that who really has that community support, that's really special. That school support that comes out and cheers on your team. And as a adult coming to a game, you might take your son or daughter to a game and say, hey, I want my kid to be like 35. And you develop that relationship with number 35. So not only are you going to watch a team, but you're watching individuals where you're up close and personal. This isn't the Yum Center when you're in the 75th row. You get to know these kids. You get to see them. You get to watch them develop not only as players, but as young men and women. So it's a good bang for your buck, and it's something that makes sports so special. You know, the one thing on Romeo is people will come see Romeo. He's a rock star. You know, those things. We've had McDonald's All-Americans. We've had Mr. Basketballs in the area. This guy's a lottery pick this year. And however you want to cut that, he's a lottery pick this year. And he's going to that rock star effect is going to fade off a little bit. There's no lottery picks in Southern Indiana right now. However, there are some outstanding players. There's a lot of competitiveness. And there's a lot of teams that are in the same field of play, which makes for outstanding games. It means the kids are doing their best, the coaches are doing their best, and it means every possession counts. It's a fun time of the year, Matt Dennison. I know you're excited for it. You can tell by my voice I'm excited for it as well.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSAA Executive Board Member. Chad, thanks for being with us on Mondays, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Man, I appreciate the run. We'll catch up soon.
All right, have a great day. Thanks for being with us. The Hoosier Report continues tomorrow right here on the Big X Sports Radio.